Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming to worship you. Thank you for setting a day apart when we can remember things concerning eternity. And you give us this day so that you'll open the gate of heaven for every one of us. And we pray, Lord, you'll make us wise unto salvation in Jesus' name. That as we hear your word, as we worship you, we'll enter in through the gate and walk in the way and keep on walking until we find our eternal salvation on that final day in Jesus' name. We ask, O Lord, that you give us understanding in your word so that false doctrine, false attitude, false assurance, and false confidence will not lead us to the dark abyss where you sell fire. We pray, Lord, that the pure word you have given us that will lead us to heaven will abide and remain in that pure, balanced word in Jesus' name. Amen. Open our eyes of understanding this day that we may live according to your will, according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 5. Our reading from verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Come to that verse again. Stand firm. Be steadfast. And it says, therefore, in the liberty, that means in the freedom, in the liberation, that means the deliverance, that means the redemption, wherewith Christ has made us free. Not Moses making us free, not the old covenant making us free, but Christ himself, by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he set us free. And he says, stand fast in that. Stand fast in that freedom. Stand fast in that liberation and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Any reader of the New Testament will understand that as the church began and the foundation was laid in Christ, that the apostles made everybody to understand that the foundation is Christ. For salvation, it's Christ. For sanctification, it's Christ. For the Holy Ghost baptism, it's Christ. For the Christian life, it's Christ. For us to walk to please the Father every time, it is Christ. That it is not the yoke of the law, ceremonial law, not the yoke of the law, even the civil law, not the yoke of the law, all the laws of the Old Testament, that it did not save them. It did not deliver them. That's why the apostles came together. And they said, why are we going to put the same yoke upon those Gentiles which our fathers were not able to bear? The Gentiles have been free from that yoke. The Gentiles did not have the law of Moses. And so Christ was presented unto them. For there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, Gentiles or Jews, Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, slaves or masters, whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so these Gentiles who are coming to the Lord, they were being saved. For the blood of Jesus washes away all sin. And as they came, they became new creatures in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. And then all of a sudden, the Jewish people realized that all these Gentiles, they had the joy of salvation, the assurance of salvation, the peace of salvation. But they ate everything that was available to eat. And those Gentiles saved, born again, on their way to heaven. Praise the Lord, I am saved. Praise the Lord, I am a child of God. But they ate everything that they could eat. And the Jews were looking at them. You eat that, that's unclean meat. You take that, that's forbidden. Oh, they said they didn't tell us that. All they told us is you are in Christ. Your condemnation is gone. You are in Christ. Judgment is gone. You are in Christ. You are born again. We are on our way to heaven. They said it's not looking on what we eat, what we don't eat. How you cut your hair, how you barb your hair. It's not looking at that. It's not looking at Saturday or Monday or Tuesday or Sabbath or whatever. We just go on in the joy of the Lord. They said, no, it cannot be. It cannot be. The old covenant compels us, according to them, that number one, you must be circumcised. It is the mark. You are a child of Abraham. And how can you be saved without having the token, the sign, the symbol that you belong to Abraham? Circumcision must be there if you're going to be saved. Not only that. You say you are saved, look at what you are eating. Look at what you are eating. And the Lord sent the message to Peter, the forefront apostle. And he said, rise up and kill and eat. And Peter said, yes, I'm saved through Christ. Yes, I have relationship with the Father through Christ. But nothing unclean had ever entered my mouth. It will spoil my salvation. I'm not that free to go and eat this or that. And God said, what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. And he saw that vision three times and still could not get it. Eventually, the Lord said, go to the house of the corners. They're looking for you. And then he got there. And the first thing he said, you know, this is unlawful. Even though we are saved, I can't relate with the Gentiles. Even though we are saved, I am not free to move on with the Gentiles. And eventually, while he was still talking, the Holy Ghost came upon the house of Cornelius. And then he said, this is surprising. They're still Gentiles. They do not eat what we eat, and they eat what we don't eat. And they do not have all those things that bind the Jews, the law. And yet, they're saved. They're sanctified, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Who can forbid water that these be not baptized in water? They've come a long way, and then God raised up Paul, he raised up Barnabas, and they went to the Gentiles, preaching the word to them. And the people were saved, and they began to declare the conversion of the Gentiles. But they said a problem arose, a controversy, an argument. And the Jews were willing to fight on this one. They said, we are fighting for what God himself gave us. He gave us on Mount Sinai. It came from the ministration of angels. Can you think about that? That God gave us this law. It came through the ministration of angels. And somebody will say, you will not do it. It must be done. And so the church gathered together. And as they gathered together to consider, it was then the word of God was settled that we do not bother these Gentiles who have come to know the Lord and they are saved. That the same faith that saves them, faith in Christ, that same faith saves us, the Jews. and it appeared everything was all right. And then they said, we give the right hand of fellowship to Paul and Barnabas. Let them go to the Gentiles. Keep on doing the good work you're doing. And he wrote a letter to them and he said, it's come to our notice that men have come to subvert your soul. And they come to harass you. We give them no such permission. But now, all you do is you'll avoid things related to idols and things that are strangled and taking up blood. If you do this, and also from fornication you abstain, fear ye well. And so we thought everything now was settled. Until some Judaizers now started coming to the people that, yes, they met in Jerusalem. They seem to have settled it, but you still must be circumcised if you're going to be saved. You must keep the law of Moses if you're going to be saved. That's why Paul then, inspired by the Lord, wrote to the people and said, you're born again because you believe in Christ. You pass from condemnation to justification because you believe in Christ. You have a right standing, a good standing, because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you will become confused and then add something to Christ before you are saved, Christ will be of no value, of no worth, of no effect unto you. Look at this now. Behold, verse 2. I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Yes, you are saved. Yes, you are standing. But if you go to add circumcision to Christ, to be the foundation and the source of your salvation, then that thing you add to Christ will make Christ of no worth, no profit, no value unto you. Look at verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Paul told them, who gave you permission to isolate circumcision alone from the law? And then you say, practice this one. How about clean meat and unclean meat? How about animal sacrifice? How about Sabbath day? How about this and that? If you pick circumcision and you add that to Christ, you must pick everything and go back to the whole thing, which they were not actually doing. So he said, you are then a debtor to the whole law. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect, of no worth, of no value unto you, whosoever, call him by any name, apostle, whosoever, call him by any name, a pastor, whosoever, call him by any name, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, call him by any name, a captain, or a leader, a church founder, or anyone, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace. Saved by grace through faith. Faith in Christ. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship. He has called us. He called us to repentance through Christ. He called us to righteousness through Christ. He calls us to redemption through Christ. If you now go back to that circumcision and the rest of the law, then it means that you are falling from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by the law. By what? By faith. For in Jesus Christ, here it comes to nail it down. It says in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. The circumcised Jews do not have the salvation easy because they're Jews. And it says nor uncircumcision. The uncircumcised Gentiles do not have the salvation difficult because they are Gentiles. It's for everyone. It's by faith in Christ. And then he says, but faith which worketh by love. But there's such a confusion on this freedom and liberty. And not just here, all over the world, among Christians, that there are people that go far to the left and they say, there's no liberty at all. Other people go far to the right and they say, yes, there is total liberty. And it becomes a license. Liberty is different from license. We need to understand, what does the word of God teach? Actually, if you look at this chapter, you'll find that those who take liberty this way and license that way, they make the first part of the chapter to contradict the latter part of the chapter. And let us now see, I'm talking to you today on total liberation and true freedom through Christ. You will be free. You're free already. Every yoke is broken from our lives in Jesus' name. There are people who say, yes, we're free in Christ. And I'm asking them, what's the meaning of that freedom in Christ? I'm asking them, what's the ramification, the extent, the scope, the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of that freedom in Christ? They don't understand. Even people who say, yes, we believe the whole Bible like you, like me. And then we ask them, we're free. And they say, praise the Lord, I am free. Until you begin to talk to them and then you understand, they don't even understand what freedom is all about. I pray you will understand. And I pray you will enjoy your freedom. And then your freedom will be according to the word of God in Jesus' name. Total liberation and true freedom through Christ. There are three things we're going to consider. Number one, the ministration of true freedom in Christ. You come to Christ and he ministers unto you true freedom. The ministration of true freedom in Christ. Point number two, the misinterpretation of the freedom of Christians. The misinterpretation of the freedom of Christians. Number three, the manifestation of true freedom in the new creature. The manifestation of true freedom in the new creature. We're coming back to number one. What's your number one over there? The ministration of true freedom in Christ. Let's come back to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ made us free. Not by ourselves, not by the works we have done, not because of what we have not done. Christ himself, our Savior. Christ himself, our Liberator. Christ himself, our Redeemer. Christ himself, the one that came to set us free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Didn't he say that? He said he was going to make us free. Look at John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I'm reading to you from verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He told them, and he has told us, that's why he came, is to set us free. In verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, tell me the rest, ye shall be free. Indeed, he told us he was going to make us free. But the ministration of that freedom, the meaning of that freedom, the message of that freedom, what is it? Number one, freedom from condemnation for sin. Freedom from condemnation. That's what he meant. He said, I'm setting you free. Before we came to Christ, our lives were cluttered by condemnation. You turn this way, you are condemned. You turn that way, you are condemned. You try to kneel down to pray, you are condemned. Because the word condemns you. The law condemns you. Your neighbors condemned you. Your heart condemned you. Your character condemned you. You were a condemned person. And you carried that condemnation all about. And now you came to Christ. And you surrendered your life to Christ. And the very first thing the Lord gives you is that he sets you free from condemnation for sin. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 18. It says in John chapter 3 verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He forgives you. He changes your life. He turns you around. And then you realize I've come to Christ and therefore it takes condemnation away from me. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 24. It says in verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth. You see, so this is of faith. You put your faith in Christ and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come, tell me, into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's why we're told in Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. That you come to Christ and the very first thing you realize, you are free from condemnation. Condemnation for sin. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Number one, freedom from condemnation. Number two, when we say freedom, that Christ has set us free, it is freedom from continuity in sinning. It sets us free. That's what the grace does in our lives. He picks us up. He said, I know you were weak. I make you strong. I know you could not overcome temptation, but now I give you the power to overcome. He sets us free from continuity in sin. In John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 14. John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. And said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Sin will not continue because it set us free from continuity in sinning. It says, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. I'm looking at John chapter 8, verse 11. He comes to us. He reaches out to us. He forgives us. And he sets us free. John chapter 8, verse 11. And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see what he has done? He set us free from sin. He's changed our lives. He's given us a new life. Freedom. What's freedom? Freedom from condemnation. What's freedom? Freedom from continuity in sinning. What's freedom? Number three, freedom from the conquering power of sin. That's the freedom. Before you knew the Lord, sin imposed itself on you. I don't want to do it. I make resolution. I will not do it. I'm going to live a righteous life. No, you could not, because of the conquering power of sin. But now you come to Christ, and it breaks the power of cancelled sin. It takes that power away. It takes that dominion of sin away from you. Look at Romans chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 11. Romans chapter 6, and we're reading from verse 11. It sets us free. Free. Free from the controlling, conquering power of sin. Chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. It conquers that power of sin. It sets us free from the controlling power of sin. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the laws thereof. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's freedom. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It sets us free from the condemnation of sin. It sets us free from the continuity of sinning. It sets us free from the conquering power of sin. It sets us free, number four, from the consequence of sin. It sets us free from the consequence of sin. There was no sickness when there was no sin. There was no suffering when there was no sin. There was no sorrow or shame when there was no sin. Sin came in, sickness came in. It's a consequence. Shame came in, it's a consequence. Sorrow came in, it's a consequence. Suffering came in, it's a consequence. And when it sets us free from the consequence of sin. Sickness will be banished out of your life. Because of freedom from condemnation, freedom from continuity in sin, freedom from the controlling power of sin, and freedom from the consequence of sin. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Tell me the rest there. By whose stripes ye were healed. You're healed in Jesus' name. It's the freedom that the Lord has given us. It says, stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. We're free from condemnation. Give me a good amen. Amen. From continuity in sinning, another amen. Amen. And then from the conquering power of sin. It will not have dominion over your life. Amen. And then number four, from the consequence of sin. I am free. Somebody there, I am free. Number five, it sets us free from the corruption of sin. You see, when sin comes in, it corrupts your life. It pollutes your life. It defiles your life. And then Jesus saw you there in that dirty well of sin. He said, I'll save you. I'll cleanse you. That sin that will corrupt you and defile your life, I'll take you out of that. And he saved us and set us free from the corruption of sin. I'm looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life. You will have them. And godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of, tell me, divine nature. Now you have a new nature, the nature of God himself, and that makes you free. Then it says, having escaped, tell me, the corruption. We have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So, the freedom comes to us and it sets us free from the corruption of sin. And that's why Peter the apostle said, all these people who are coming to you, and they say, you'll be free, you'll be free. Check up in their lives. Are they themselves free from the corruption? Look at chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. That when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure you through the lust of the flesh and through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They don't understand liberty. They don't understand freedom. While they promise you liberty, freedom, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. They're still in bondage to corruption. But freedom, freedom means total freedom from the corruption of sin. You know what freedom is? Number 6 now is freedom from the curse for sinners. Freedom from the curse for sinners. You find people going about, they say, I'm saved, but I'm under a curse. Where's the freedom then? I'm saved, I'm under a yoke. Where is the freedom then? I'm saved, but you know, this devil has not left me alone. Where is the freedom then? Freedom means that you are free from the curse for sinners. Thank God I am free. I said, thank God I am free. You're free in Jesus' name. We come to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Somebody is saying amen over there. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You're free in Jesus' name. Number 7. Christ gives us freedom from the captivity of Satan. From the captivity of Satan. Evil spirits should not control our lives after we give our lives to Christ. He says, behold, I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in unto him and I will sup with him. Christ comes in. Then Jesus said, if any man follow me, him will my Father honor. If any man obey me, I and my Father will come in and make our abode in him. You see that when you are born again, when you give your life to the Lord, Christ comes in, the Father comes in. Not only that, it says, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Spirit will not come. I'm going to send the Spirit, the Comforter, unto you. The Comforter whom the world cannot receive. But you know him, because he, the Comforter, is with you and shall be in you. Think about that. The Father in you, the Son in you, and the Holy Ghost in you. I thought when light comes in, darkness will go out. Is that right? Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus, the light, comes in, Satan must go out of that place. Evil spirits must go out of that place. That's a freedom. He sets us free from the captivity of Satan. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 John chapter 3, Verses 8 and 9, it tells us, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what? That he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. It comes to your heart. It comes to live inside you. No more captivity. The devil will not determine your destiny. He will not determine your life and the direction of your life. That's captivity. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The power of Satan is broken away from your life. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I'm talking about somebody there now. Born of God, the controlling power of Satan, captivity of Satan is gone away from your life in Jesus. And that's the freedom Jesus has given us in Luke chapter 10. Verse 17, Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. That's the freedom right there. You know, you are under the spell of those evil powers and evil spirits, under the control of those evil powers and evil spirits, and you are under fear. The people who are in fear all their lives because of the power of the enemy. But now he says, I've set you free. The fear of that evil sin, you're free from that. And the captivity, you're free from that. He has set you free. The bondage will try to come in again. The temptation to be afraid will come in again. But he says, stand fast. Stand firm. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled again to the yoke of bondage. That yoke is broken away from your life. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, praise the Lord. And nothing, I said, praise the Lord. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Freedom, what's the freedom? What's the meaning of our freedom in Christ? Freedom from the condemnation for sin. Freedom from continuity in sinning. Freedom from the conquering power of sin. Freedom from the consequence of sin. That's the sickness and the sorrow and the shame and the suffering. And freedom from the corruption of sin. And freedom from the curse for sinners. And freedom from the captivity of Satan. I am free. I said, I am free. Come back now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And he's telling us here, don't put your neck under that yoke anymore. And don't go back to that bondage anymore. He has set you free. Stand fast, stand firm. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, freedom. There are people that misinterpret freedom. They misrepresent freedom, and they misapply freedom. That brings us to point number two, the misinterpretation of the freedom of Christians. And literally what they do is they cancel the freedom by the frivolity. They cancel the liberty by the license. And they cancel the assurance by the abuse of that liberty. And it comes in three areas. Number one, the flesh. Number two, the fruit. Number three, the family. Number one, the flesh. They cancel their liberty by indulging the flesh. Indulging the flesh. Number two, by ignoring the fruit. No fruit in their lives anymore. Oh, they say, I'm free. They say, I'm at liberty. So they indulge the flesh. I am free. So they ignore the fruit. I am free. They injure the family. Look at this. Number one, they think freedom means freedom to indulge the flesh. Let's come to chapter 5 of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Do not use liberty as an opportunity to let go and indulge the flesh, an occasion for the flesh. And he tells us right in this chapter, look at verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. It says, those who say, we're free, we're free. And then they think that liberty means, liberation means, freedom means, indulge the flesh. He said, watch them and be very careful. These are the works of the flesh. Then it says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred and variance and emulations and wrath and strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. We're going to read the last part together now. That, 1, 2, 3, go. You're going to read it in unison. 1, 2, 3, go. Now you read it very well. 1, 2, 3. It says, those who say we're free. We're free to indulge the flesh. We're free to continue in the flesh. They which do such things, they are not free from hellfire. They are not free from condemnation. They are not free from judgment. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. They misinterpret freedom. And they think freedom means you can indulge the flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8, the flesh. Romans chapter 8. I'm reading here from verse 12 and verse 13. Romans chapter 12, chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. Brethren, verse 13, for if ye, not sinners, brethren, if ye, those who have been saved by Christ, if ye, those who profess freedom in Christ, if ye live after the flesh, what will happen? You shall die. You'll die in sin and go to hell because you misinterpret freedom to mean we can indulge the flesh. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 14. Romans chapter 13, I'm reading here from verse 14. Here it tells us about the flesh. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Don't say, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I can indulge the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It tells us in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading here from verse 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Indulging the flesh. 6, 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. You go back to that corruption again, and you go back into that captivity once again. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 16, 1 John 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the people that were trying to turn liberty to license, and they were abusing that liberty, they came and they said, we're free. We can indulge the flesh. For them, it will be hellfire if they die in that condition. What's the Lord telling us? If we're going to keep our freedom, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's really liberty. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And there are other people that tried to misinterpret our freedom, the freedom of Christians. Those who did it, number one, they said you can indulge the flesh. Number two, other people said you can ignore the fruit. Fruit bearing. They say, you don't need any fruit. We're saved. We're saved by grace. Whether you have fruit or not, the fruit of repentance. Oh, they said that's not necessary anymore. The fruit of righteousness, they said that's not necessary anymore. We're saved. We're saved. And we're at liberty. So don't look for any fruit. But look at that same Galatians chapter 5. They read only one verse of scripture. They do not read everything in the chapter. It tells us in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. You're free, you must bear fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. You're not free from loving God with all your heart. You're not free from loving your wife. You're not free from loving your husband. You're not free from loving your neighbor as yourself. Freedom does not mean, no, I don't have to love anybody. I am free. I am free to hate. I'm free to fight. I'm free to do evil. No, you're not free. You must not ignore the fruit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with their affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I pray God will give you understanding. In John chapter 15, you're free, but you cannot ignore the fruit. Free, but you cannot ignore fruit bearing. John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what happens? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He who abides in me and keeps on enjoying my freedom and my liberation and liberty, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, and there's no fruit anymore, and is ignoring the fruit, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them where? Into the fire, and they are burnt. Look at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. You cannot interpret liberty, liberation, freedom to mean I can ignore the fruit. No, you cannot. He called you, he saved you, and he ordained you, put you in place that you might bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Give me a good amen there. Amen. See, there are people that they will say, we're free, we're at liberty. Because we're at liberty, they indulge the flesh. Because we're at liberty, they ignore the fruit. Now they are dead, they don't have any fruit. In Jude, having only one chapter, I'm reading here from verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead. That means they were dead in sins and trespasses, just dead. Then they came alive, quickened, they were born again. But as they now thought, we have liberty, we have freedom, we can do whatever, we can dodge the flesh, we can ignore the fruit, they went back to where they were before. They were dead again, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. With wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. You see, those people that misinterpret freedom, liberty, and they indulge the flesh, and they ignore the fruit, it means that forever, if they don't repent, they'll spend eternity in hellfire. Number point, the third part of this, those who misinterpret, they injure the family. They injure the family. Come back to Galatians chapter 5. What does that mean? They injure the family. There are two kinds of families. Number one, the human family. Number two, the heavenly family. The human family, husband and wife, parents and children, human family. The heavenly family, those who are born from above, they have eternal life. They're the family of God. They're the children of God. These people who misinterpret our freedom, they say, I am free. They can hurt their own personal family. The wife says, I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. I'm going into heaven. Whatever I do, even if I injure my husband, even if I'm unfaithful to my husband, I am free. I'm born again. I'm not going to heaven because of I do this, I don't do that. I am free. The husband too will say, I am free. Free to do what? Free to injure the family. Look at Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 26. It says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, the people that claim freedom, 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 they don't understand your freedom stops where it will hurt your fellow man. Your freedom stops where it will hurt another person. You cannot carry freedom so far as to just be lawless. And then you hurt everybody and destroy the human family. You know, somebody comes to the family and meets another person's wife, And he says, let's do this together. And the fellows, how can you do that? Are you afraid? Are you not free? Are you not at liberty? Christ has set us free. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't go here. Don't sit there. Don't stand there. Christ has set us free. That is to hurt and to injure the family, the human family. And there will be judgment. I said there will be judgment. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 9. It says in verse 9, know ye not, free people, know ye not? Those who say they are at liberty, don't you know ye not that the righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Those who misuse and mess up other people's daughters, or mess up other people's wives. We're free. Don't you know? You're injuring the human family. And it says, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. It tells us in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at that again. Galatians chapter 5. That same chapter 5 that talks about liberty and about freedom. Chapter 5 verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery. You injure the human family with your misinterpretation of we're free. Whatever happens, we're free. No, you're not free to do that. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and then it says hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've often told you in time past, they which do such things on the basis of we're free, on the basis of we have liberty, on the basis of nobody can control me and control us. Don't sit there. Don't stand there. Don't touch that one. Don't kiss that one. Don't go there. Nobody can control me. I'm free. Your freedom will lead you to hell. Freedom to hurt, to injure the family. It says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? Then say amen if you believe. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 4. Freedom to injure the human family. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but all mongers and adulterers God will judge. Those who say we're free, and that makes them to mess up with other people's daughters or wives or other people's husbands. Freedom, that's a freedom that's abused. It leads to hellfire. But there's another kind of family, and it is the family of God, the heavenly family. There are people that live as if you can injure the heavenly family, the children of God. They say, well, I'm at liberty. What I will do, I will do. If you like it, okay. If you don't like it, no problem. But I am at liberty. You see, there are people, they are self-centered. And they allow their sinful nature to misinterpret the Bible. And they are hurting you, and they are destroying you. And they want to scatter the family of God, the flock of God, the fold of the shepherd. And on the basis that we are free, I want you to look at the word of God in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. You're not free to indulge the flesh. You're not free to ignore the fruit. You're not free to injure the family. In Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 15. In verse 15 it says, but if thy brother be grieved, be offended with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. You see, there are people like Gentiles, we can eat anything because the Lord has set us free. And there's a Jewish person around that it will hurt his conscience. It will hurt his personality. Everything he knew since he was born, it will hurt him. And then the Gentile is saying, I don't know what's wrong with you, but we can eat anything. And then they bring that thing in front of that Jewish person who is also a believer. And they don't care for the conscience of that other person, or for the feeling of that other person, or for the spiritual impact on that other person. That's why Paul the apostle said, yes, we know we're free. You can eat whatever you want to eat, but if thy brother be offended, be grieved with thy meat, you are not walking charitably. Don't destroy him with thy meat for whom Christ died. It says, can't you deny yourself of that food, even though it's lawful? You could eat it if you wanted to. But if it will cause offense to another person, can't you have the grace of God to deny yourself? It says in verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Verse 20, for meat, non-essential. For meat, something that will perish. For meat, something temporary. For meat, something that gives you temporary enjoyment, temporary benefit. For meat, destroy not the work of God. You see, there are people, they don't care what you feel. They don't care how you think. They don't care whether you feel offended or not. They will do what they will do. They will say what they will say. They say, I know in my heart I'm free. I know in my heart I'm at liberty. Your liberty is destroying the church of God. Your freedom is destroying the family of God. And you don't care for that. And Jesus died for the church. And that doesn't concern you. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we read from verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. The thoughtless people who think, I'm a Christian, I know my right. You're not thinking of our righteousness. You're thinking of your own right. I know my liberty. You're not thinking of getting the people, making the people know the Lord backslide. And you say, I know my heart. I know I didn't think evil. I didn't plan evil. I didn't, I'm not trying to do anything. I just know that, look at this scripture. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. I know I am free. But your freedom is bringing temptation to other people. It's bringing discouragement to other people. It's destroying other people. If they are destroyed and they go to hell because of you, because of your liberty too will carry you to hell. You'll follow them there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Christ died for him. And in his weakness, in the area of his weakness, you become a problem to him because you carry your liberty, your freedom too far. And then he says, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, if meat make my brother to sin, If meat make my brother to backslide, I will eat no flesh, no meat, while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You see, our liberty does not mean that, well, I can do anything, I can go anywhere, I can say anything, I can act anyhow, even if it makes other people backslide. No, you shouldn't do that. We should live a life that is conscious of the peculiarities of other people. We're looking at Romans chapter 14. Again, Romans chapter 14, and I'm reading from verse 21. Romans chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 21. What the Lord is telling us is that we need to moderate our freedom when it's going to cause the family of God to be hurt, to backslide, or to shift away from the standard of the word of God. In Romans chapter 14, verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything, to do anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. And so we've seen those people that misinterpret the freedom we have and the liberty we have, and the Lord is saying that we should get away from all that kind of misinterpretation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. As free, yes, he has set us free. The Lord has graciously forgiven us. But then, we do not live carelessly and misinterpret the word of God and indulge the flesh. We do not live carefully and ignore the fruit. We do not live carelessly and injure the family. It says, you're free. Only use not your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God, you live righteously. I pray God will give us grace to live righteously in Jesus' name. Number one is the ministration of true freedom in Christ. Number two, the misinterpretation of the freedom of Christians. Number three now, the manifestation of true freedom in the new creature. Manifestation of true freedom in the new creature. We're looking at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 11. This is a manifestation of true freedom. Free from, you're free from sin. You're free from any sin Christ died for. You don't want the death of Christ to be in vain. He has died for you. And because he died for you, say, Christ died for that. I'll not continue in that. Christ died for that, and for him too. I'll not continue in things that will injure him. We're looking at John 8, verse 11. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. I do not condemn you for the past. Now for the present and the future, go and sin no more. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto how many people? All men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's real liberty. That's real freedom. That's why it says in verse 12, then speak Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You'll walk in the light. You live in the light, and your freedom will be a help to other people, a boost to other people's lives in Jesus' name. You're not free to make other people sin. You're free to make them live righteously. You're not free to make other people backslide. You're free to make them holy and righteous, to help them, to lead them, and to encourage them. And when the truth is in you, that truth will set you free and set other people free in Jesus' name. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll be free. Free from sin, free from sickness, and free from Satan, free from shame, and free from sorrow. It sets you free. From today, you'll be free in Jesus' name. And if the Son, verse 36, and if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You're free at salvation, you're free indeed at sanctification. We're looking at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 7. It says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. The power of Christ will set you free from sin. All the yoke and all the bondage of sin that tied you down before, freedom has now come. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. The Lord will do it in your life. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done what? Has done what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. That freedom will be yours in Jesus' name. You see the problem with the children of Israel? They concentrated on circumcision. Circumcision in the natural. Circumcision in the physical. They neglected the circumcision that God himself was to do for them and do in them. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, he promised them, he made them to look ahead. He said, that circumcision as the son of Abraham, that's just physical, that's natural. I'm leading you to another circumcision that my only begotten son will bring. That one they neglected. All they thought about is, have you been circumcised? Have you been circumcised? Have you been circumcised? Who did it for you? Did you go to Mr. So-and-so and Rabbi so-and-so and so-and-so to do circumcision for you? They neglected, they overlooked the circumcision that Almighty God himself had promised he was going to do. Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm reading from verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. You see, that's what the Lord wanted to do. Circumcision of heart. But the circumcision of the flesh took over from them. The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all that thou mightest live. How about that circumcision? Is that circumcision still for today? Circumcision of the heart, of your spirit, of your soul, that changes you on the inside. Of course, Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. With the circumcision made without the hands of a rabbi, the hands of a Jew, the hands of a surgeon. It says, in whom, that's in Christ, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of who? Of Christ. They neglected that circumcision of Christ and were looking at circumcision of the Jews. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as seen now quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Because of that cross, now we're free. I said, now we're free. Free to live right. And free to do well. And because every sin, anything that bound us before and hindered us from living a righteous life, all that has now been taken away. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What do we do now? What's our life about now? Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections now on things above, not on things on the earth. The flesh, the drinking, the evil, the merriment, the dancing, the nightclub. It says, get your mind off that. Now you're free from all that, for ye are dead. And your life is seen with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, put to death, get rid of this, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, get rid of that. Uncleanness, get rid of that. Inordinate affection, get rid of that. Evil concupiscence, get rid of that. Covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Don't say, I'm free, I can be angry. I'm free, I can fight. I'm free, I can knock somebody's teeth out. It says, but now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Let not one, lie not one to another. You know, so you people who say, I'm saved, I'm born again, and they deal with lies. And in those lives, of course, I'm free. I can do anything. I can say anything. He says, no, if you're free, you're free from sin. If you're free, you're free from the controlling power of sin. It sets you free, free from sin. It will happen in your life in Jesus' name. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Then he tells us in verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly, abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever, you see this now, whatsoever you do, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, in the day, in the night, in the church, in the office, if you say you're free, here is how the freedom will manifest, how the liberty will manifest. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. In verse 23, it tells us, and whatsoever ye do, do each how? Wholeheartedly, heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. That's the liberty he has called us to. That's the liberation, the freedom he has called us to. Liberty to live right. Liberty to be holy. Liberty to be righteous. And liberty to live by the love of the kingdom of God. In Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, we're reading from verse 1. Here it says in verse 1, Galatians 5, reading from verse 1, stand fast, stand firm, stand immovable, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom, in the deliverance, in the salvation, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I pray that your freedom will stand, will last in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. Now you understand, we're not to turn liberty to license. We're not to turn our freedom to careless living. He has called you to repentance. He has called you to righteousness. He has called you to redemption. And his grace has worked in your life. Free, and free indeed. Tell the Lord, I appreciate the freedom. I understand the freedom. I accept the freedom. And let that freedom be manifest in your life. Freedom from the condemnation of sin. Freedom from continuity in sinning. And freedom from the controlling power of sin. Does sin still control you? Does it dominate your life? Or can you say, I am free from that controlling power of sin? And freedom from the consequence of sin. Freedom from the corruption of sin. And from the curse on sinners. And freedom from the captivity of Satan. Have you been misinterpreting your freedom? Misinterpreting your freedom to indulge the flesh, to ignore the fruit, or to injure the family of God? Come back now, be free, and walk in the light. And then you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It sets you free. And you can say, His grace abides in me. Sin no more, lest an evil thing come upon you. And don't lead other people to bondage in sinning. Let your life lead other people to freedom from sin. You are free from sin. Let your influence, your impact, also lead other people to that same freedom from sin.